Jim Rogers, how are you?
I'm delighted, Andy. I'm delighted to be here. It's good to see you.
It's really good to see you. I really want to dive right into it and see what your views or if your views have changed that we could be or should be entering a recession just from the bubbles that have been created as well as just the time. Have your thoughts changed on that?
Well, Andy, a couple of simple facts. It's been since 2009 that we had a serious problem in the U.S., in the world, especially the U.S. That's the longest in American history. Now, it may be it'll last 100 years this time. Maybe, you know, maybe the people in Washington are right when they say, oh, we've solved the problems. Well, I've never believed a word they say, and I know they've never solved the problem, so I doubt it. But it has lasted the longest in American history. I see some signs developing that we're going to have economic problems on the horizon. But I am not selling short yet because I don't see anything that has quite popped the bubble yet. So my guess, my short answer is things are okay for the moment, but be worried a year or two from now.
Got it. Let's talk about the Fed, because the Fed seems like they're really going into hyperdrive and printing a lot of money, or they have done that recently. Is the Fed somewhat trapped in a box, would you say? Or probably I would also add to that almost all central banks, in the sense of they can't really lower interest rates because that will ignite inflation or keep inflation going. And they can't really raise interest rates anymore because things will break. What are your thoughts on where the Fed is at?
Well, I've been observing and read enough over the years to know that most central bankers do not know what they're doing. We've had occasional good central banks, even a couple of great central bankers in the last 100 years, but very, very few. So I certainly pay attention to them because they have so much money that they can have an influence, not just America, I mean, Tokyo, everywhere. So you have to pay attention to what they say and what they do. But I mean, I read the same newspapers you do. Been a lot of money printed in the last several years. It has been going into markets. It has started leading to inflation. History shows that money printing always leads to inflation eventually. We're starting to see that now. We're going to see more. And as we see more, interest rates will go higher and the bubble will come to an end. How the market will come to an end. It's pretty simple. That's the way it's always worked. The hard part is knowing, okay, smart guy, when? You could tell us it's going to happen someday. Well, it is. But when is someday? We don't care about anything except when. And I don't know. We should watch you, Andy, to find out when.
I don't think I'm that smart. They never ring the bell at the top, do they? This has direct really implications in gold and silver. I know that you've been on record, as I have, about owning physical gold and physical silver. And interestingly enough, in the past probably 2 to 3 months, it's actually been gold and silver have been going up more since then. But it's really broken out, both gold and specifically silver. Are you still accumulating silver here? And what are your thoughts on, gold and silver? And what are your thoughts on gold and silver right now at the moment?
Well, just to clarify so everybody knows what we're saying, gold is at an all-time high. Gold has never been this high in world recorded history. But silver's still down 50% from its all-time high. So if I were buying one today, I would buy silver. I'm not buying either of them in any serious way at the moment, certainly not gold at all-time highs. But if I were buying one, I would buy silver. And in fact, maybe you've reminded me I should go buy a little silver today because it is still very cheap on a historic basis. Both have a decent future, especially silver.
Got it. And even with gold at all-time highs, you'd still be optimistic about it in light of all of the money printing that the Fed has done.
I have a lot of gold. I am not selling any gold, no.
Got it.
I don't know if that means I'm optimistic, but I'm certainly not selling, and I'm certainly not selling it short.
Got it. And I know that you're quite the value investor. I don't know if that's the right word, but you like to buy things that are very, very cheap. What right now, or what specific commodity would you say that you'd be interested in as far as because of the relative price? And then what other assets do you find that are of good value right now?
Well, when I look at commodities, I usually try to start by just getting out a list and seeing what's down the most. And that's at least where I'll start looking, because maybe
it's a good place to start.
Maybe if something's down the most, it might be time to buy it. I don't know. Certainly made many mistakes in my life, but agriculture's not overpriced. You know, some agriculture prices are very cheap, even on a historic basis. So I guess if I were looking at something to buy today, I would buy agriculture, and I would probably buy a basket. These days, it's easy to buy baskets of anything, stocks, bonds, currencies, commodities, anything. And basket investing or index investing, call it what you will, is certainly more efficient and better for most investors than trying to pick the exact spot.
Got it.
And I'm lazy. Index investing is great for lazy people like me.
You and me both. I'm very interested in agriculture because obviously the price, but also what's your view on demand in the world? If you get the supply and demand equation.
Well, we all know that the world population continues to rise, maybe not as rapid.